So to put a face to the name, yes, I am Jono. Daniel has, this is not turning on, there we go. Daniel enjoys making fun of me, but it's my fault because I started it, so I accept that. Also, I want to say that our lives do revolve more around more things than just going to the gym. You may feel like that's all Daniel talks about. I don't plan on talking about that today, so we've got that out of our systems. Last week, Senior Pastor Daniel Power, he preached on the vision for our life. So we've got this theme, vision, and today we're going to continue that topic with God's vision for your marriage. Now, although I am registered with Birth, Deaths, and Marriages to perform these wedding ceremonies, I do not feel qualified to do this sermon today. I still have a lot to learn, but I had some good friends once say to me, "Don't worry, it's not about you, it's about what God has said." So I'm going to do my best to explain to you what I read in the Word and what God has already set out for us. I also want to say, Infinity Church is a great church. And I know for sure that there is some really amazing, strong marriages, strong relationships in this church. And personally, I've been encouraged by many of them. And I think we should expect, or we should feel encouraged, that actually this community is such a strong community. So put simply, God's vision for marriage is that we would come to know Him better. I'm not trying to peak too early. I'm just sort of starting there. I'm gonna put that out there. And, you know, in many marriage ceremonies, there's three verses that are typically used. I'm going to use all three. But I want to start with Ecclesiastes. And you probably know it. It's those, although one may be overpowered, two may defend themselves, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. God's vision for our marriage is that we may come to know Him better. Now, how does that apply to the three-chord strand? Well, you may think of three chords. Of course, three is better than one or even two. However, what makes a rope or what makes a strand strong is the braid. That way, there is no short strand. There is no strand that carries more load than the other. And a strand or a braided rope enables an even distribution of work. Without that twist, it's not capable of carrying high loads. So this means that for us in our relationships, that we need to be connected with each other. We need to be intertwined, not only with our spouse, but with God. So I say it again, God's vision for your marriage is not just to bring you and your partner closer together, but actually to be used as a union to bring you closer to God. Now, I just want to explain something about myself. I like to eat. Maybe that's obvious to some, but my marriage has a problem. And it's something that we still work on. It's an unspoken rule, and I'm sure if it was spoken, it may be better. When we go to Westfield and buy food, and we're not sure what to buy, or we're not sure if we want something or we don't want something, the rule is, if you're unsure, buy more. That's the rule. We've not spoken about it, but that's the rule. The second rule is there must be a pre-agreement, a pre-expectation set on the share of food. Do not, and Kate's learnt this, buy me a drink, expect to share it and put it in front of me, but don't tell me when to stop. I will drink that. You can tell this probably gets me into a lot of trouble. In fact, it was just last Sunday, I said to Kate, I want some chicken. And she bought a big box of chicken, and I thought, gee, my wife has been lovely. She's loved me. She put that box down in front of me, and I ate the whole box. Turns out she wanted half of that box. Now, I didn't know. I didn't know. How am I supposed to know? I say this to explain to you my selfishness in my own relationship. However, there is one human that breaks that barrier. My son. I don't know how he does it. I don't know. I've said this before, but he can ask for something from me and I will give it to him. He doesn't even have to ask it for me and I will give it to him. When it comes to food, there's no withholding from that guy. And if you had have asked me a couple of years ago, 5 years ago maybe, are you going to, like, do you share food? The answer would have been no. You asked me about my nephews or my nieces. I love them dearly. Get your own food. Dan and Meg's kids, get your own food. Don't touch it. It's mine. Even my wife. Maybe we need to talk about this. But Gideon, I'm willing to share. And the reason why I tell you this is because sometimes for us to experience or for us to fully understand something, we need to experience it. I never understood the love that I would have for my children looking forwards until I had a child. I never understood what my relationship with my wife could be, would be, or had the potential for until I got married. So today, when we talk about God's vision for marriage, if you don't quite get what we're talking about, don't worry, there's hope. There's plenty of people here that will help you and explain it to you, but also be assured that in your time, when it comes, that God will provide you with the answers. So I said I'm going to use those three verses that are used at weddings. I've already mentioned Ecclesiastes. We will also read Ephesians 5. We'll also read 1 Corinthians. So I didn't give the screens any warning about my last one, but we're going to go to Ephesians 5 now. I said before that our God's vision is not just to bring you and your partner closer, but to bring God closer to you. So remember that as we read this. So Ephesians 5, 21 to 30. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which is our Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so should our wives submit to the husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up to her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain, without wrinkle or blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one hated his own body, but they feed and care for their own body just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body. This passage has been quoted many times, and you may be familiar with it. And it tells us not only of how to love our partners, our husbands and wives, but it reveals to us how Christ loved us to the point of death. You see, husbands, we are called to love our wives, just as Christ loved the church. And this is more than the simple act of sharing food. This is more than the simple act of holding a door open. But to love our wives as Christ loved the church, we need to understand what love is. So we can go to Corinthians. That's the other verse used. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. What is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It does not keep record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now read that in the context of husbands, love your wives. That is, yeah, it's huge. As humans, we have a tendency towards selfishness. This is the origin of sin, right? When we read Corinthians, we see that it doesn't do that. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It doesn't keep records of wrongs. Christ loved us, fully loved us, in the same way that we read here of Corinthians. He loved us to death. And as husbands, we're instructed to do that. However, it is somewhat impossible to do. It is a call above our own nature. Even the best man that you can think of in this room is not able to love his wife that way. But that's okay. We have Christ, and we know that Christ sent a helper. For wives, we read the example of submitting to their husbands. And this is a call of respect. I'm reminded briefly of Romans 6:1. It says, "What then shall we say? Shall we continue to sin so God's kindness will increase?" And you might think, what has that got to do with respecting your partner? Well, when your husband loves you, as Christ loved the church, that should change your actions. Because of the love of your husband, you submit to him. You no longer live for yourself, but you live as someone bought for a high price, valued and loved. For some people, that word submission can be triggering. I want to make it clear that submission's not a power struggle. It's not one is greater than the other. It doesn't mean wives are inferior or they must blindly follow their husbands. No, that's right. Instead, it means you give up your desire for control and you cooperate with him. You seek to help him lead your marriage, lead your family. You voluntarily submit to your husband because you are completing him, helping him be faithful with his duties. So wives, submit to your husband. It's actually a choice to compliment him. And it's a choice that's best for both of you and best for your family. And in the case of the three-chord strand, submitting to your husband is also what is best to make you stronger, to bring God closer to you. As Christians here, we are told to love to the point of death, which is as Christ loved the church. Submitting ourselves to each other, submitting our own desires to each other. And it's a clear description of not withholding from our partners, not eating the box of chicken, but actually choosing to care and feed, choosing to support and encourage each other. And I think that's summed up in that first verse of Ephesians, to submit to one another out of reverence of Christ. What a call. What a call. Because of our reverence to Christ, we submit to each other. Again, I said at the beginning, I don't feel qualified to preach this today, but thankfully, I don't have to be. We have the Word of God, we have the example of Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit, the Helper, helping us today. The direction here of a godly marriage also highlights Christ's desire for intimacy with us. We don't use our marriage as a template for Christ, but it's the relationship that Christ has with his church that we place as a template over our marriage. Because Christ is the standard, and because of that, it's no wonder that we need help. It's no wonder we need a three-chord strand. It's no wonder we need God in the center of our relationship. God desires a relationship so deep and so intimate with us that the only earthly example is marriage. And even that doesn't sum it up. Even that is not close enough. We look at each other, we look at our spouses through the eyes of a loving God, unselfish, ready to support, ready to give all that we have for them. And I say it again, we don't use our marriage as a template for our relationship with Christ. Christ's relationship with the church is our template for our marriage. So then, you may ask yourself, or I found myself asking, is my relationship with God that intimate? So if I am the church, I am to live as a wife, submitting to him. That feels a little bit uncomfortable to me. And I think that's okay. But if Jesus Christ is our example, is our staple of love, then I must submit to him. Giving up my desire for control, giving up my will to have things my way, but instead seeking Christ's guidance in my life. Is that what your relationship with Christ is? Or do we come here on a Sunday to consume a great worship set, to hear an encouraging word? Or do we come because we submit ourselves to God? Do we come because we want that intimacy? It's not too late, I guess. I want to say today, it's not too late. Your relationship with God is something that we're working with. Our relationship with Christ will continue to grow. Like I said, there is a community of people in this building. There is families that are already Christ-filled and that are already great examples of what loving each other looks like. But I want to say today that Christ wants that intimacy with you, and we can achieve that through submitting to him. Maybe you're not married today and you're thinking to yourself, great message, what about me? But the vision is the same, male or female. Are you submitting to Christ? No longer living for yourself, but bought for a price. It doesn't matter whether you're in that relationship or not, whether you're married, whether you're not married. The call is the same. Christ wants an intimate relationship with you. It's because of this desire for relationship that we experience the example of earthly marriage. And I think that that itself is sometimes actually the trial that we need to get us to understand our own shortcomings. And I'm not here saying that a Christian or a godly marriage is easy, or that it is something that should be perfect. But I am saying that we do have a loving God that will help us. So I want to finish this. I want to sum this up with, do you desire a deeper relationship with Jesus? And if you need help with that, don't sit there in that seat today. Don't run out that door as soon as the service finishes. Why don't you talk to Daniel and Meg, come see Kate, myself, Reese, Samira, ministry team are here. Would you seek out that intimacy with God? I'm going to finish with a prayer, and we'll have an opportunity to respond. If you do, that'd be great. I'd love to pray for you. I know that we have material here for you. We've got Bibles we can give you. If you don't have one, we'd love to give it to you. I'm just going to finish in prayer. Lord God, I thank you for your provision. God, I thank you that you put something in place, an example for us, a template to follow. God, that you lived out your love for us, of love that is to death. Lord, help us to be more Christ-like in our actions, in our words to each other, to our wives, to our husbands. God, I pray that you would bless these marriages here today. Strengthen them and bring them closer. And I ask you here today, if you want to know that love, if you want intimacy with Christ, would you pray for that? Maybe if you all follow me in a prayer. Yeah, if you read after me. Lord God, I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you for your love. God, help me to understand it. Lord, I give you my life. I submit my desires to follow you. Amen. If that was the first time you've ever prayed something like that prayer, please come and seek us. Talk to Daniel, talk to myself, talk to Kate. I just want to encourage you, after the service, I'm going to wrap it up, the service is finishing, but I encourage you today to grab a coffee, to talk with the people in this room, to be encouraged. Don't leave feeling like you could have had something more. Go out there, have a coffee, meet each other. Thank you.